time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Mitch on vacation, back next week. Pauly and Matt Humans. Mike Palm in studio in half an hour. Negative on the no hyperbole. 3 weeks in a row. I was looking forward to that. A lot to go over with Mike. And the we'll address what's going on in Nevada and also with the casinos as well. And Derek Stevens made 4 bets to win $1 million at the Westgate on some Major League Baseball. You can't wait for UFC 251 on Saturday, Fight Island. We get the fight that we wanted to see with Burns out, Masvidal against Usman. And with Fight Island involved, and the main card starts at 6 a.m. local time. The prelims start at 2 a.m. Funny how that'll work, but just to see what it looks like with the pomp and circumstance. And then, but as we talked about a little bit here, Masvidal's on a free roll for several reasons. Mm-hmm. Taking the fight on short notice, built an excuse. What if he shows up and it's a great fight, can get a rematch? If it's a fantastic fight and a classic, maybe an immediate rematch. Plus, if he gets beat, it's like, oh, again, what are you going to do? I mean, all the pressure is on Usman here because you're supposed to beat this guy, taking it, and you're a $3 favorite, and he's asked to take it on a week's notice, and he won't have his coach in his corner because he tested positive. Plus, he's 16-1. And Masvidal, who is 35-13, really is just the hype train got going about 3 fights ago with the Askren fight and the Diaz and some and then doing all the interviews, and he can really talk a good game. I know you have a money quote that you read as well, but I really think Masvidal here is on a total free roll.
Masvidal called Usman a bum. So he's going to baptize him. He said decapitate him and baptize him.
There it is. Okay.
So he's got his trash-talking game in shape this week. Like you said, Usman probably has more pressure on him here because he's expected to win this. He's a minus 300 favorite. He's a $3 favorite against a guy who's going to be tough to get out, man. Jorge Masvidal is one of the toughest customers in the UFC. So I think that Usman's been spending all this time preparing for a different fighter. He was preparing for Gilbert Burns. And now he's got to take on Jorge Masvidal, who's been training, not specifically for this fight, but he has been training. And he is going to be in fight shape on Saturday when these guys meet in Abu Dhabi. I think the price is a little bit too high here on Usman, who, you know, it's a contrasting styles fight. He wants to wrestle. Masvidal wants to, stand up and trade bombs. It's got the potential to be a great fight, and I hope that materializes. And I kind of like the underdog a little bit, but I think that's going to be considered the square play because of Masvidal's, like you said, his recent high-profile wins over Askren, especially Nate Diaz, and, what he's done recently. Plus 230, you might even be able to find a little bit better than that on Jorge Masvidal. Does appeal to me. I have not made the bet yet, but we've got some UFC analysts coming on here the next couple days. We'll get a better feel for how they think this fight might go down on Saturday night in Abu Dhabi. And what you said might be the most bet UFC card in history.
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah, absolutely. VSiN, follow the money. The Sports Betting Network, Pauly Howard, Matt Humans. We're talking about UFC 251. Usman's one and only loss occurred in his second fight in 2013. What do you know about Masvidal's wrestling? I mean,
I don't think he's much of a wrestler.
The defense takedown, not bad. I mean, he's going to need it on Saturday against this guy.
Exactly. I think his takedown defense is decent.
What do we know about Usman's stand-up? I mean, could he get caught here?
I think he could get caught, which is why he doesn't want to stand up and trade shots with Jorge Masvidal. Not many guys do. I mean, Nate Diaz is one of the best at stand-ups. He can take a punch and he can deliver it. And Masvidal beat him up. So I don't think Usman wants to get into that type of fight with by the way, another sneaky handicapping angle to consider here. I think Masvidal's got to drop a lot of weight before the fight. On Saturday, doesn't he have to drop somewhere around 10 to 15 pounds before this fight?
Is it that much?
I read that. I don't know if that was properly reported, but I did read that in one story last night that he's going to have to drop some serious pounds before the weigh-in.
Well, you can also say he's been working out, too, in training, but is that – I mean, when you're taking a – are we sure?
Right.
Can you be 100% with anything? that he was just ready. I mean, the last time we heard from him, he was ticked off at the company. And now he's like, okay, well.
Yeah, he wanted a new contract. So it's a totally different thing from being in the gym, training for a specific opponent for a fight, than it is just being in the gym.
Yeah.
You know, like you are, no, it's because out of habit. Kelly?
Yeah, Matt, this is from MMA Junkie. On last Saturday, he weighed in 192 pounds, so he'd have to cut 22 pounds.
Wow, that's a lot. Oh. That's a lot.
Oh, knockout.
That's big time.
Yeah, knockout information. Well, it's like all these NBA players are saying. There's shape and there's basketball shape. Oh, that's what Luka said. Luka's coach said he's not in basketball shape. There's a big difference. So
that's why
you're right. Well, I mean, was he just in the gym? Where I mean, this would be a whole different ball game as opposed to now I'm in a fight and I'm taking on one of the best guys in the world.
Which would be a big problem for him. You know, his stamina is not going to be too strong if Usman gets him down and turns it into a wrestling match.
And I could see that too. I mean, we're reading your own press clippings. I mean, all of a sudden, that guy became famous overnight.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with some people calling him a household name. I don't think he's there yet.
Nah, he's not there yet. But he's close to being a star. I mean, he's gone from a street fighter to a star.
It's a great story.
In a relatively short amount of time.
Yes. So Wes Reynolds joins us now. Check out Long Shots here on VSiN. Golf expert. Really knows his stuff. I saw you tweeted out some of your picks on Twitter, and you had the ghost face next to Matsuyama's odds. You're not in love with the 16-1, but you had to play him anyways.
Yeah, I didn't like the price, Paul, but he's a total fit here in terms of what you're looking for, and the fact that he's won on the golf course, won the Memorial a few years ago in a playoff actually over Kevin Na, so he's got experience on the course. Won back in 2014. Look, it's like every week with Matsuyama. The ball striking is there every single week. He's first in this week's field in strokes gained tee to green, sixth in strokes gained approach, top 15 in greens in regulation, top 15 in birdie average. So he's gained in terms of the average strokes gained at Muirfield Village. And I go on these parameters of having a minimum of 10 tournament rounds here. He was fourth on the list, gaining about 2.1 strokes per round. And he's just behind Patrick Cantlay, who was the winner here last year, Matt Kuchar, who's also won here, and Justin Rose. So, yeah, I wish Matsuyama was a better price, but maybe the fact that he's 16-1 and he hasn't really shortened, but he hasn't really drifted either, maybe that's telling you that there's some support in the market for him, and obviously some of the odds makers like him too.
Okay. How about Koepka and Rose?
Koepka is more of a little bit of a gut play this week because if you look at his past track record here, nondescript, 31st, I think, is his best finish in two shots here at the Memorial. But he didn't play at the Travelers, and I mentioned I liked him along with DJ, and DJ ended up getting the win at the Travelers a couple weeks ago. But I really liked the shape Koepka's game was coming into, and he really, after the RBC Heritage, kind of had a bit of a come-to-Jesus meeting, if you will, with Team Koepka, with his agent, his management, his caddy, his physio, everybody that's part of keeping him out on the tour. And he said, let's simplify our game. Let's get back to basics. Let's not try to hit every shot perfectly. Let's just go out there and just play golf and do what we do. And he played well at the RBC. He was supposed to play in the Travelers. And then Ricky Elliott, his bag man, got test positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But seemingly everybody's back and ready to go. And I think he's going to play with a little bit more motivation this week. We know what he said in the past because, you know, he's a little bit cocky in his interviews. It's kind of a little bit of his persona and really who he is. He said, I'm only worried about the majors. And then that gets overplayed. So it's like, well, he's only going to try to win majors. He's never going to care about winning any other tournament. Well, I think he's going to care because he's come back from a pretty severe knee injury. And the fact that he's seen his fellow Bash brother, Dustin Johnson, win at the Travelers. And now he's seen Bryson DeChambeau win. And, you know, just a year ago, I'm on with Gil on a numbers game, and we're talking about, and I'm asked the question, how many majors is this guy going to win? Is this guy going to win double-digit majors? And I said, well, perhaps he's got the ability, but he's probably going to have injuries at some point. So that talk that we're hearing about Bryson DeChambeau right now, and it's fair and it's for good reason, that's what we were hearing about Brooks Koepka like a month ago or a year ago. You know, 365 days ago, we were talking about how dominant Brooks Koepka looks, and now we're doing the same with Bryson. And then just to get to Justin Rose real quick, former winner here at Muirfield back in 2010, always has a good record here. If you really believe in course form, he would be one of your guys this week. And he's coming in a little bit with a new attitude because he's taken over really complete control of his game. He split with Sean Foley a couple weeks ago, and people know that name, Sean Foley, because he worked with Tiger for a spell several years ago. Well, Rose was with Foley for like 11 years. So I'm going to trust Justin Rose that he knows his game at this point of his career. He's a smart guy, pretty cerebral player, but he's going to do something new and kind of go off on his own.
Sean Foley, not to be confused with Matt Foley, who lived in the van down by the river.
Yes.
Justin Thomas, a guy I played this week at 13-1. Wes, I typically don't like to play odds in that neighborhood, but last week, it's interesting what you said about Hideki Matsuyama in the 16-1 range. Last week when you saw Bryson DeChambeau at 6-1, you're like, I can't bet that at 6-1, but I really felt like he was the strongest player in the field without question. And you could just see him zeroing in. He was knocking on the door of a win the previous 3 weeks. So if somebody told me they were going to bet 6-1 on DeChambeau, I really wouldn't have argued because I felt like that he was so due to win, it was going to happen. On this list of the guys at the top of the odds board, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Hideki Matsuyama, Xander Schauffele, who do you feel like's in the best form and is knocking on the door to get a win right now?
Yeah, I would probably say, and I'm going to stick with my guns and say Koepka, and I certainly can't argue Thomas because Thomas has been a bit of an interesting case study this year. He's either like top five or top 10 or goes on to win or he misses a cut.
Right.
I mean, that's really when you've looked at his year-wide form, that's how he's been. John Rahm, I think, is going to be fine long-term, but he really hasn't fired out of the gate. Cantlay is a total course form junkie, won here last year, so I can't really argue if people are taking him, but I'm going to stick with my guns and say that Koepka's going to have a good chance to go on and win this week.
I like Koepka this week as well. That was 19-1 at Circa, I think 18-1 as we talk about it right now, but Brooks Koepka was a guy I liked the past couple weeks. He had to pull out of a tournament because his caddy tested positive, but he's back. And, you know, we know he targets majors for trying to hit his peak in terms of form. But I think we started to see him really show some positive signs a couple weeks ago. And he said a lot of things about his health and his knee that were I think were encouraging that Brooks Koepka was trying to tell people, hey, I'm about to start playing some great golf. And he showed that the last time out. All right, Wes, we're looking at your plays for this week's Workday Charity Open. Paul Howard's going to have the feed on for us here in the studio tomorrow morning, so it's going to be like Green Zone Golf.
Oh, yeah.
You got Hideki Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Gary Woodland, Byung-Hun An, Joel Damon, and Jonathan Vegas, your long shots. Talk a little bit about your long shots here, and then one matchup play that you had that's similar to mine. I was really surprised you played this because you love Fat Pat, but you played Ricky Fowler. You played Fowler minus 125 over Patrick Reed this week.
Yeah, and I will go ahead and start with the matchup first. Ricky Fowler, look, I was encouraged by what I saw last week, even though he didn't really contend in the end. He finished tied for 12th, made a little bit of an equipment adjustment. He's with Cobra as his manufacturer, and they did this specialty set for him where it's custom made, where it's the only set in the world and only Ricky Fowler has it. And he used it for that little driving relief, the little tailor-made event that they did back in May, and just didn't send a like him. So he went back to just an old standard factory set of sticks and looked pretty good. And he's a guy that I almost played this week on a futures market, but maybe I'll look toward next week when you got a stronger field and he's at a bigger price. But to kind of the longer odd guys on the futures, Donny Vegas, who was my longest guy, was basically a course correlation play. He likes Nicklaus design. He's won twice back-to-back years at Glen Abbey, which is where usually the RBC Canadian Open is going to be played. It's a kind of a relatively similar course to Muirfield Village. So I went with him on that. Joel Damon, he's got like 8 top 20s in his last 14 events. This is a guy that has really been good statistically in terms of ball striking, in terms of off the tee, good solid scrambler. He's going to be in contention or be right there. If he doesn't win, he's at least going to be knocking on the door at some event here in the near future. And I'm thinking maybe it could just be this week in a little bit weaker field. And then Benny on another Nicklaus course guy, lost in a playoff here a couple years ago, actually to Bryson DeChambeau in 2018. So, and Kyle Stanley as well within that playoff, but he is a guy that just loves the Nicklaus courses. And one of the things you're going to see this week is that the greens are going to be slower this week than they are next week. They roll about 13 on the stem for the Memorial, which are some of the fastest these guys see all year, but they're only going to be at about an 11 this week. And I'm kind of maintaining the thesis, and I can be horribly wrong here in the end, but I'm maintaining that these slower greens are going to help some of these shakier putters, like we mentioned Matsuyama earlier and Benny on, because that's really the weakness in Benny on's game. He ranks in the 200s in strokes gained putting, but you just got to have one good week on the greens to win. So those were my longer shots that I did play this week.
2 minutes, Wes. What do you think of the – I think it's an overreaction. I'm with Matt with the DeChambeau stuff. But I know that it's based on risk, and so many people are betting on DeChambeau. But now the favorite in at the Westgate to win all three majors.
Yeah, and I think, look, oddsmakers are going to be defensive kind of by their nature. And, I mean, the guys like Jeff Sherman at Westgate and Jeff Benson and Matt Metcalf, who and Jeff was our guest on Long Shots this week, these guys are going to be defensive, and they're going to be very smart about this. They know people like to bet what they saw last. It's just like they do in a stick and ball sport or any other sport. They're going to do the same in golf. So everybody's going to want to kind of come in on Monday morning and say, hey, maybe we can catch these guys napping and get a good price on DeChambeau. Well, it's already going to be moved for you. Look, I think he's the favorite. I guess he kind of has to be for good reason. I wish I would have had him for the Masters. I did bet him ahead of time for the PGA. But in terms of, like, the U.S. Open, you know, to see him so short right now in the 10-1, and even some places he's in single digits, I'm like, wait a minute on the U.S. Open, because you know with 3 extra months, the USGA, because it's going to be second week of September, the USGA is going to do so much to try to dummy up that course and make that course so hard for these guys. They're seeing all these scores, Paul, where it's like 20 under wins every week. I mean, 20 under, a guy had 31 birdies and eagles combined last week, that being Matthew Wolf, and he loses by 3 shots. So they're going to want to make this U.S. Open, and it's in a classical design like Wingfoot. So they're going to want to make this hard where, like, even par is your winning score. So I think the DeChambeau, we should hold the phone a little bit. But it's justified that they moved him went ahead and moved him as favorite, because they've got to protect themselves and protect their exposure on players.
Wes, what's the winning score going to be this week?
I'm going to say it's going to be around 18 under is going to be the winning score, because Memorial average is usually like 14 or 15. I think this is going to play a little easier this week with the slower greens and a little bit of shorter rough.
What'd you get DeChambeau at in the PGA? What odds?
DeChambeau, I got at 25.
Okay.
Actually, a few weeks ago. Well, I took him and your guy, Xander Schauffele, were two guys I took because I just wanted to get in on good prices on him before they moved.
Understandable. Paul, why don't you like DeChambeau again? You said you hate, you didn't you say earlier?
I don't like his attitude. What he did with the cameraman. Right. Wes, come on with the cameraman. We have to protect our brand. He threw the club and was cursing. The cameraman's doing his job.
Yeah, his maturity level is not exactly at an all-time high. I mean, people have called him Bryson DeChambeau for a reason.
All right. Great job, Wes. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Point Spread Weekly contributor, also with the Long Shots as well, Wes Reynolds.
I didn't know Wes Reynolds got up this early in the morning because Young and the Restless doesn't come on until like 11 a.m.
Sure. He also tweeted he was checking out the Eagles. ESPN ran an Eagles concert Sunday.
Somebody texted me that. I wasn't watching.
From 2018, Glenn Frey is dead. He died in like 16.
This was on ESPN.
Yeah, they ran an Eagles concert.
Call Doug Kazarian and find out what's up with that.
Doug, what's coming out? Yeah. We'll address it tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely. Great win some, lose some coming up. A rough day in soccer and two great dog videos next. Soccer contest weekend, Circa recap, hot dog recap, and I want to get his thoughts on the Daniel Ali tweet as well. Everything with Mike Palm coming up in 5 minutes. Palm Readers Unite. Time for Win Lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Crazy day on the pitch. Nothing went right. Lecce plus 675 beat Lazio, who was hot. 2-1. Big dog there. They had a 7-1 and a plus 850 over the weekend, too. AC Milan plus 235. You figure it out. Down 2-0 in the second half against Juventus, who had only conceded 5 goals since the middle of February. They score 4 unanswered and 3 in 5 minutes. 4-2 Milan. Leicester Arsenal draw plus 245. Blackburn 3-1 rallied to beat Cardiff City 3-2. Bad for the books. Chelsea 160 up to 230, beat Palace 3-2. Watford 140 closed 180 at stations, beat Norwich 2-1. Brentford $3 up to $4 at DraftKings. They won 2-1. The both goals in the 75th minute or later. Now an astonishing 18-2. They've outscored their opponents after the 75th minute. This dog at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram thinks it's like a little swimming pool. His little water dish, he doesn't know what to make of it, the puppy. He thinks it's like a little pool, and he's playing in the water, and then either his mom or comes over and says, what are you doing? I mean, what's the deal? And this is the new cop buddy movie coming out at the end of the year, where the, look at the dog is steering the car. Remote control, as a viewer pointed out, but the baby is in the side, and the dog is steering the wheel. That's unbelievable. Look at that. He's got it. I got it. Cosmo's got the caboose. Look at that.
A dog's more qualified to drive than some of the drivers I've seen on the Las Vegas roadways.
He's got it. The dog has got it. No problem. This is dirty pool.
Dog's not talking on the cell.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Putting on makeup. Who knows? Yeah, checking self. You're right. Look at what the elephant does to his buddy here. Right in the mode.
Wow.
Ass over teacup. Just pushes him right in. Oh, you're getting close, huh? Okay, there you go. Right in.
That's a great move.
That is unfortunate. Look at that. Oh, the big fella goes in. Cannonball. One, lose some. This actually could be win some. But I would say from a calorie standpoint, a viewer tweeted this in from his 4th of July party. Look at this burger. He's got the two patties with cheese, two hot dogs.
I know you love the
two
cheese.
Oh, you got to have it. I mean, I made the egregious error of getting a Whopper without cheese back-to-back times. But look at that. That is sexy. Wow. I'd like to tear into that.
That is a great idea right there. That's a double bacon hot dog burger, right?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah. Beautiful.
I mean, you can't do much better than that. You
great 4th of July.
Grilled hot dogs, bacon, hamburger, cheese.
Very good.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
That's win-lose.
I'm ready to go eat breakfast.
Yes. What are you thinking?
That makes me want to go to Wendy's for the Baconator.
That good? Delivers every time?
Burger King's become one of my favorite breakfast spots because they have the best hash browns.
They do.
And you can get that the sausage biscuit and the hash browns really easy. Plus, you don't have to wait long at the Burger King drive-thru in the morning. Usually,
right.
I go there by the South Point. I'm the only car there. Just zip right through. You're in and out. Yeah. Burger King, Wendy's, those are two of my favorite breakfast spots.
I asked
Dunkin' Donuts is not bad.
Yeah, I asked Matt Vaskirjan his favorite fast food. He said Taco Bell. Another Taco
Bell. Oh,
that's
disappointing. Yeah. Why'd you tell me that? Now I have to lower Vaskirjan's power rating.
Yeah, he went Taco Bell.
He went number one, Taco Bell?
I said your favorite fast
what?
Food. He said Taco Bell?
That's disheartening.
Very surprising. That hurts.
One of my favorite baseball commentators.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah, absolutely. There's Matt's update. There's Matt's top 25 fast food power rankings. Yep.
And I'll say to Taco Bell last week, every time you go there, it's just underwhelming. It's not that good.
Matt, did you do Whataburger breakfast in Texas?
You know, I'm not big on the breakfast food at Whataburger necessarily, but it's 24 hours. I did the Pico de Gallo burger.
Huh.
Good spot. I ate it all the time in Tallahassee.
Did you?
Yeah.
Whataburger's actually got a great menu. It's like I said, 24 hours is a big bonus.
Absolutely.
Where do you rate Taco Bell?
Not top 25.
I was going to say.
No way. There's only a couple things on the menu I like. Chalupa, Gordita.
Right.
Other than that, no way. Del Taco, much better. Roberto's locally. Taco John's, please. Come on, guys. Mike Palm in studio next. Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Unveil the beach body. Manscaped here to ensure your post-quarantine body's ready for the wild. Don't be the guy at the beach with the bear rug on your chest. Manscaped dedicated to helping you level up your full body grooming game. They forever changed the game with their Perfect Package 3.0. The cordless body trimmer. Liquid formulations to round out your routine. The best trimmer on the market for those of you in need of a chest shave. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Code VSIN20. 20% off free shipping code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. Paulie, Matt Humans, Mitch on vacation. Mike Palm in studio, as he is every Wednesday. VP at the Golden Gate, the D, and Circa, which is going to be opening in late October. CircaLasVegas.com. Book your rooms now. It's going to be a game changer for the city of Las Vegas. How are you, sir?
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Maddie. Good morning, Paulie. Good morning, Northbrook. Nice to be back in Chicago. We're doing well. We're booking rooms. We're booking sportsbook seating. And tomorrow, on Thursday, we'll start booking the pool. The pool seating, 9 a.m. Pacific, Thursday, July 9th. So I know everybody is geared up for booking March Madness next year out there at the pool.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be on sale as well. It'll be through the end of the year, and then we put Super Bowl weekend and March Madness week on sale.
So what's the first week you're going to be open to the NFL? You're booking seating for the Circa Sportsbook? Week is that?
Absolutely. That's October 28th. I think the first game is a Thursday night. It's like the Falcons and the Panthers is that Thursday night game. Week 8, I want to say. We're booking seating for that. Playoffs, for playoffs already. We're seeing booking Super Bowl, obviously, and March Madness. Hotel rates March Madness higher than Super Bowl. The demand for the sportsbook seating so far much higher March Madness than Super Bowl. But that makes sense. I mean, people usually have the spot they go to on Super Bowl locked up. March Madness is really just an exploding market where people are looking for a great place to watch.
This will be the spot. And rates are affordable, too. Great prices. Get to CircaLasVegas.com. How about contest weekend? I saw that announcement.
I'm really excited for that contest weekend. And then, of course, we saw several hours later that Jay announced they're going to do their golf tournament on that Saturday as well. So we'll have a lot of people in town that weekend to sign up for one, the other, or both, right? And Maddie, you'll partake in both. But I'm excited for this. Friday night, really the highlight, we're going to have a panel discussion on sports betting. And we, I mean, we've locked up an all-star crew.
Paul Howard's going to be on that, right?
No. Paul Howard.
Wait, I don't want to jinx it.
What?
I don't want to jinx it.
He's some William Hill gig on Friday nights. But let's start off.
You know what's going to happen. There'll be a cancellation, then we'll be up there with the you-know-what in our hand.
All right. Well, we'll lead off with the traveling Wilbury himself, Mitch Moss.
Sure.
I mean, this guy hosts the most popular show in America. Your career took off when you hooked up with me. You were with Seat Williams floundering for years. All of a sudden, you got hooked up with Mitch Moss, and look where you're at.
Yeah, doing national in 300 markets by myself. But yeah,
we got Panda. We got Matty Humans. I mean, sure. Respected sports journalist.
Do you have Gil, or is he on?
Wait a minute now, man about town. Okay. Matt Humans. Is there anybody better on the Mountain West Pac-12? Nobody better.
Nope.
Then we have Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi, his resume is well known, but I mean, worked with Bill Walsh, worked with Bill Belichick, worked with Al David. But what people don't talk about, he worked with Harvey Hyde here at UNLV. I think
right.
that. And then of course he's on our own very network. I think it's the best sports wagering debate show, without a doubt, with him and Patrick Maher. Reminds me of Crossfire in the old days with Pat Buchanan and Tom Brady. And then the feather in the cap, I told Derek, I want to get somebody that's been on the Wayne Kimmel Leadership Series. He said, boy, that's like Moby Dick, hunting for Moby. No, we got him. We got Gil Alexander, who obviously appeared on that show and hosts a little podcast here as well. So what a star-studded panel. Now, here's the challenge. Where are we going to be at for social distancing?
Mm-hmm.
We might have to run this panel in a couple flights, right? I think we're going to get a couple hundred people that want to attend this panel, but we might have to break it up. We'll see where we're at that point.
I'll take over 200.
And then, of course, on Saturday, we have the meet and greet with two celebrity guests, Derek Stevens and Paul Howard at Barcat.
Oh, what a treat. Now, that is some heavy hitters right there. Yeah. We have a lot in common.
Someone texted me yesterday, said, what time is the panel going to be at Circa Sports Weekend on that Friday night? I said, I don't know. It's 6 weeks away. If I had to guess today, I would say 7 p.m.
Yeah, we're going to do we said 6.
Okay.
But maybe if we break it up, maybe we do one at 6, one at 7:30, do an hour each. We'll take questions from the audience as well, and I'll moderate the panel.
How about giveaways, Mike? People love free stuff. That always makes the crowd sweat.
Yeah, we get some Circa swag. It's hard to get right now, right? It's not really out there on the market, so we'll have some Circa swag available for those that are attending that panel.
What's it going to take to get these entries and get everything up? NFL going to have to come out and say we're good? I mean, we got to get going here because we're not going to have
to do that. You can't.
This is really putting a wrench into everything. But
and I think they'll take their cue as we see the NBA and NHL try to get their playoffs underway, and Major League Baseball in less than 3 weeks as well. So it will be interesting. I think they have the most leeway, obviously. We've seen them reduce the preseason schedule, which maybe is not a bad idea anyhow, just in regular times. But I think we're going to have a season. We've written into the rules you have to have at least 12 weeks for the Circa Million 2. So you got to get 60 picks in to make it a valid contest. Otherwise, refund. And then at least 8 weeks for the survivor. If somebody should happen to be the lone person before week 8 is completed, though, they win it. I mean, it's not like, you had to have gone 8 weeks. And I mean, that's possible. Right now, we're running about 3.5 to 1 Circa Million 2 to survivor. I know you were high that the survivor would eclipse the number of entries. If that's true, we're probably in trouble with the 3 million guarantee and the million 2. So I got a little bit of money with you and Jimmy that the million 2 will have more. I had to give a little price away. But we'll see as they start flooding in August, just like they did last year.
How was the hot dog handle in Colorado?
It was interesting because there was really two-sided action early. Not a lot on the field versus Chestnut. I mean, 'cause such a big price, right? A few bets on the field. But as we got closer to the kickoff, some under money started coming in. So the number went from 73.5 down to 73. So we made a few bucks on that, on the total that went over. I want to know how that girl got on stage and ate 7 hot dogs. I could have had that in no hyperbole. I mean, she's one of the 4 best in the world, and she ate 7? Von Tobel might have ate 7, yeah. You know?
She worked
I think JVT ate 6.
Is that what he did?
He had 5.5 or 6
before he vomited.
Yeah, when he went to the bathroom through
a reversal
here at the South Point. How about the cold-blooded commentary on the hot dog contest? Who would bet the field against Joey Chestnut? Just give your money away. Yeah. He was up. He had a 25 hot dog lead. The commentator said, up 25 hot dogs, it would take a Shanahan-type effort for him to lose now.
Good reference.
How about that?
Not bad. Wow. Not
interesting
bad.
Question cold yesterday. Butter. You know, Kobayashi or Chestnut, right? I mean, who was the best in their prime? I guess Chestnut's the best of all time, right?
Yes.
But it's like Celis. We'll never know. Are you there, Nick? Are you there?
Nick Bogdanovich. Yeah,
I almost drove off the road yesterday morning when he said that. Same thing.
Derek's four bets doing a million at the Westgate. The tough beats Mike's head in soccer. The playbook coming up. And how much easier would life be for the casinos if people would wear the mask? We'll run that down coming up. He's on fire, at least with the commentary, not so much with the soccer like he was. Mike Palm in studio. Welcome back. Follow the money. Paulie Howard, Matt Eumanns on VSiN, Mitch Moss on vacation. Time for In Pocket. Lean with Watford got there. But what happened yesterday made no sense in soccer. No sense. But this makes sense, so it'll probably lose. Liverpool, Brighton under 2.5. I mean, listen, Liverpool hasn't scored in their last 5 road games. And Brighton's been shut out a league high 11 times. So I just think they come out and play patty cake today. I mean, Liverpool going through the motion since they've clinched. The ambush at Man City, and then they didn't score till the 70th minute at home against Villa. I'll go under 2.5 even money here with Liverpool and Brighton. I agree with Nigel. It should be cagey, nervy. Could be 1-0. So I'll go under in that one with the 1-2. What do you have, my friend? Oh, excuse me. Mac, take it. Sorry.
I didn't know I was thinking it.
Oh, okay.
I got some golf plays up there. We'll put the Justin Thomas 13-1, Brooks Koepka 19, Xander Schauffele 22, Ricky Fowler now 44-1
at
Circa Sports. Bjorn Hunt on
also 95-1 at Circa. You guys are unbelievable. Metcalf moving.
Jumping on that Circa Sports app this morning to bet a couple more golf plays. 2 matchups, Koepka over Rahm, that's even money. Fowler over Fat Pat Reed, Koepka to finish top 10.
Right.
What was that? Was Brighton Liverpool under 2.5? That's your play today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a televised game here?
Yes, it is at noon.
Okay.
Okay. Now, do you blame me for since the playbook came back and the poor soccer run?
I warned you.
Fire?
I warned you.
Yeah, you did.
But anyhow,
yeah.
No, I don't really blame you. You know, you gave me a bad Italian game the one time to bet under. It was all. But you gave me a winner yesterday.
Yes,
that bailed me out, the Leicester City under.
Thank you.
That got me out. Let's talk about today, and then we can talk about soccer in general. We'll go West Ham, Group 1, West Ham, Burnley, under the 2.5. Burnley is a challenge side to score. I can see them having nil in this game. And then, you know, in Spain, it's so hot, Paul. Look at these Spanish games.
Yes.
They go on runs of 6 or 8 in a row that all go under.
Right.
You only get goals early in halves there. If you watch that, by the time you get 15 minutes into the half, they're so gassed that you get them early in halves or right at the end when a team is down one. So we'll go with Real Betis and Asuan under 2.5 there, too. Group 2, this is a two-way play, right? Because it's a pick'em game. You can get this number a little better. I think they were 109 at Circa. I'll take Villarreal here. I can't see them losing this game against Getafe. So I'll take them on the two-way at plus 105. Then I'm going to do a parlay here. This is a women's match. We've got to find new avenues now. The rust has worn off in a lot of these leagues. We went to Mexico last night and bombed those two games under. The Copa Mexico. They're bringing them back into pool play. It's interesting, right? So that those teams are in pool play. I think the mat makes those matches a little cagier. But let's go with the Utah Royals and the OL Reign. That's formerly the Seattle Reign. I'm going to parlay these two because I don't like to lay over 130 when I'm betting a total. 150 there. And then how about this Aves team in Portugal? I can understand a settable play. I think they're like minus 115 on the three-way. This Aves team has not scored in almost 700 minutes, Matt.
Wow.
680-some minutes. I had them under 3 on Saturday. Or was it Saturday? Yeah. Under three on Saturday, 0-0 at half. They lose 4-0 with two goals after the 88th minute, too. A goal in extra time.
Out of control.
Four beats in extra time this weekend. But it's going to happen when you bet unders. I mean, you just lose them at the end. But so that's a two-team parlay, the playbook for today. Yeah, I think now Nigel's right. It gets dangerous now because when you're in the last four or five matches of these leagues and teams either know they're relegated or they're not and they're in the middle, they have nothing to play for. That's why that first game yesterday that we were all on, I mean, everybody in the world was on, and you had the right side there with the Norwich game under. But Norwich is now, they can't get out of relegation. So they have not, and then they get a cheap early goal and you're in trouble. At least you came back and got the side right. So we really have to focus on matches where their first legs of two leg parlays or two leg matchups, or they're teams that have rust and are just coming. I'm a little worried about MLS, though, because that league is very high scoring with a lot of penalties. So I'll have to watch a little bit there.
Take a look at Burnley today, too, 3-1. Their last 11, they've only lost once, and that was to Man City. I mean, that's a good price against West Ham. I don't know why they were dogs at home to Watford, too, and they won that match, too. Another thing, observation, do we need the water brace when it's pouring rain? It's pouring rain. They're stopping for water breaks. I mean, that's okay. How about Derek's four bets at the Westgate?
Yeah, we went down there last week. He wanted to make some to long shot Major League Baseball picks, and it's all they got the new screen there. I tell you, it looked great there. I hadn't been there in the house that Murray built in a while, but he made four bets to win $1 million. He bet the Tigers at 500-1 to win the World Series, and at 250-1 to win the American League pennant. And then he came back with the Marlins in the National League at 400-1 and 200-1, respectively. Now, he can't win $4 million because they both can't win the World Series, but wouldn't he love it if they both got – heck, if they're even in the playoff contention come mid-September, he can turn that 13-5 that he bet to win $3 million. He can get his money back, obviously.
Yeah, I'm not going to downplay any long shot bet like this, you know, in this type of season. But the Marlins, we talked about this early in the show, they play 52 games against teams – to finish 500 or better last season. By comparison, the Dodgers play 17.
The NL East is very tough to begin with, right? I mean, there's four solid teams in the Marlins,
right?
The theory, obviously, though, is with the short season, they're going to. I mean, Detroit would bring these pitchers up next year or the year following. They're going to bring all these young guns up, and they've got them listed already this year. So, if they develop, that's an interesting bet over 7.5 wins, Paul. I understand what Mad Dog said yesterday. But for somebody to get hot and win eight out of 11 starts or 12, I think it's going to happen. I really do. Ooh. Because, and you know who I like to do it? Bueller. I think this kid is going to come in. Walker Bueller is going to come into his. And if he stays healthy, here's a young kid that can pitch a lot of innings, and he could do it.
Clayton Kershaw is going to start the opener for the Dodgers, by the way. But Bueller is the ace of that staff now, no doubt about it. How about a middle relief type of guy?
That's what I would say.
The starters. Yes. A lot of these starters are not going to be stretched out early in the season, so you could have a middle relief guy who steals some wins maybe and maybe possibly wins eight.
Early in the year, it's very possible because when they start here in late July, I don't know that any of these starters are even going to go five.
I don't think they will.
You know what I mean?
A few of them will.
So you got the guy coming in to give you two innings afterwards that's going to be eligible for the win. So that's a good point as well, Matty.
Well, I've talked to a couple GMs here in the last couple of weeks, and you won't be – it's astonishing how many phone calls and problems they're having with people refusing to wear the mask. I mean, I don't know how you come to a state when the governor says it's mandatory and you're not going to – but people do it. I mean, I don't understand why they're making it making the casinos in charge of social distancing and making sure people are wearing – that should be – and I don't know if this is true, but I saw this in L.A. They just fine people. If you do that here, you take away all the problems. Say, you're not wearing a mask? Fine, $300. Here you go. Bam, pay it. I mean, you got so much going on in the casinos. And to worry about, you have to worry about the social distancing 6 feet away, and they're doing a great job at the D. I was there with the girl, and we were playing blackjack, and the dealer kept telling me, you got to back up. She's playing. But when you're coming in, and people at the bar or whatever are not putting the mask on, and then I was talking to a GM at another property, the phone won't stop, and the employees just go, I don't even worry about it. If they show up to if they come up to customer service and they don't have the mask on, I just call security and I'm just done with it. That's it.
You've raised a lot of interesting points in a short time. I think you might have made the argument that she was playing your money to try to be closer, but that probably wouldn't fly either. Here's the problem. Who will enforce it, right? Who will enforce it? There's not enough. Yeah. There's not enough police officers. They have yeah. another job to do, right? So it comes down to agencies trying to police the operators and the businesses. We do the very best we can. There's not enough security to call them every time either.
You can't.
The department's on their own, and everybody has to be an ambassador. Mike Deeney does an unbelievable job at the D of walking around, and I have to get it in my mind and my mindset that when I go up and tell a person that it's an honest mistake and they've forgotten. I mean, for a lot, it is.
Sure.
Sometimes I walk out of the house without mine.
Right.
I just forget about it. It's not part of your routine yet. But many times you just have to remind them to put it back up after you take a sip or you take a puff on your cigarette.
I don't go anywhere without the mask.
You and Mitch have been the two biggest ambassadors of this, and the PSA campaign was effective. But most people, you just have to remind them. You see these cases they post on the internet where they're just there to make a problem, like those two women that went into the Wynn, and they just wanted to create problems for you. Well, if you feel that way, just don't come. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to come here if you don't feel you want to wear the mask. So we've done a good job, I think, with our campaign of mask up, and it's a challenge every day. You're right, with other things to think about.
God.
But the bottom line is we want to get the cases down and we want to get back to full operations.
Yeah, let me throw this tweet up for you. Guys, can you throw up this Daniel Ali tweet again? Because I know you are big into poker and as being a VP of a casino, this is interesting. He tweeted this out about a friend had $700,000 in Baccarat chips, 25 Cranbears, I believe they're called, $25,000 chips stolen in Vegas. The casinos are fully aware and the chips are impossible to cash. You can explain the tracking. If anyone has info about the whereabouts of the chips or aware of an attempt to sell the chips, contact the Las Vegas Police Department or retweet. Why would you put the tweet up? Wouldn't you try to catch the guy with his pants down to think he's been able to cash them? And then, because we went through this with the Bellagio Bandit years ago.
It'll be very hard. I mean, every casino cage has a list of chips that are on hold, right? And basically, if you're trying to cash a 100 or a 500 or higher at any cage, you're going to call that casino and say, here's the player. Should he have this chip? I mean, this happens every day in the cages. It's hard to do it. So and it's very hard to break that chip down, too. I mean, if people have 500, they try to break them into hundreds and quarters and that. But this person's in a really tough spot. I mean, if he's going to try to.
25,000. He can't.
No shot.
No.
Thousands are almost impossible to get.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Like Matt said, though, how do you lose that many chips? But poker players, we had that in 2013. The guy left 300,000 cash in the back of a taxi cab.
How about Jimmy's best friend?
Duffel bag.
Duffel bag. Leaves it in the booth. Leaves it in the washroom.
Sorry,
leaves
your money.
It at the buffet.
Walks away from 250,000 cash. Yeah, you're good. Incredible. All right, no hyperbole next week.
I'll do it. I'll give. Mitch will be back. He was the father. It was his idea. So.
Okay. Very good. Good luck with the plays. Back tomorrow. Doug Kazarian and live golf. Break down the live golf here on VSiN.